Hello and good evening. Welcome to episode two, The Life Insurance. Welcome to Hair the Dog. Follow Simone as she recounts the shenanigans of her life and family, from heartache, narcissism, bigamy, fraud, abandonment, a coke-dealing uncle, hookers, and death. Sorry, no dead hookers yet. This hilarious raw dog accounting from Simone, a Southern belle from Louisiana, will make you pee your pants in laughter and unbelief. Join us as we discover that if there's a comedic Southern American Gothic family, it is indeed Simone's family. I am your co-host, Tony. I have been friends with Simone for a number of years, and now, finally, I get to share with the entire world the stories that Simone has to share. I guess, what, now that we've had the first episode, a number of people have listened, what updates do you have for us? And should we mention the one-star review before we had any content?
I love the one-star review. Okay, y'all. Someone gave us a one-star review, and it's just so funny to me because it was before we had any content posted. So I'm kind of hoping it was like an accident or like a misscroll. But then there's another part of me that's like, is the caregiver listening? Probably not the case. But one speculates. But in terms of like updates, I don't have any. And any attorney I've talked to has said it's extremely bizarre to have an attorney and client ghost like this. So typically, if like they are not working together, the attorney would file something like a declaration saying they're no longer working together, and nothing like that has been filed. So I can only speculate. I mean, I could say that the attorney is like overwhelmed or something, who knows? And like I've shared, like I like to be transparent and candid, and like grief is really intense. It's hard grieving a parent. This obviously has had some extra layers, but like today's been a rough day. I've been more in my feels. I might cry a little during this podcast. So I've just been more in my feels today because I was looking through documents and I came across my dad's old passport and has this picture of him where, like I said, my parents are like both really hot. Like they were hot in the 70s, or just like really attractive people. And he was just like in his prime. And I was like, gosh, like I miss him, So grief is tough. So I apologize if there's a little tears today, because it's just, one of those feeling days.
Oh yeah, and that's the weird thing too. Like grief can hit you in the weirdest ways and in the oddest moments, especially since like I think you did speak about it in the last podcast episode where you were not given an opportunity to grieve. So like you had to basically numb yourself and just not be able to grieve until like months, if not like over a year later to actually process it, speak with a therapist, and actually start doing the grieving process. And it can be very tough. But doesn't that seem a little rude though, that somebody gave us a one-star review before we even got like really started?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm hoping it's like an accident or something, but I just think it's funny. My Southern belle self, Miss Manners, I went to charm and finishing school like most Southern girls do. So I was like, that's inconsiderate, but who knows?
It's probably somebody from up in the Pacific Northwest. Who knows? So a big part of the lawsuit is that is your dad's life insurance. And I know there's some crazy stuff down with it. Can you tell us what happened with that?
Oh Lord, have mercy. That's a big one. That's a big story. So I shared initially that my dad's employer and this life insurance company stated that I was the primary and only beneficiary. And then that changed a few days later with a 50-50 split. And that corresponds with the documentation that the whistleblower gave me later in March. So this, what I'm talking about now, all took place in October 2021. So with the red flags, the will, the big delay in telling me that my father had died, I wrote the life insurance company and I just asked them to look into everything with this caregiver. And my letter's really polite. I'll post it at some point because I want to like redact everything. But I highlighted why there were areas of concern for me, and they never responded to my letter, despite their policy saying something like they would respond to 5 to 7 business days for that type of letter. So that was mid late October. Then in November, I received a check for 50% of the proceeds. I had no idea there was a shit show going on behind the scenes, and I got to see it months later when we submitted a subpoena to this company. And the emails, like back and forth, are like wild. Like it's so many of these oh shit moments that it's really interesting to like read through. And I appreciate their transparency and actually sending me and being transparent that wow, we mishandled this. So the caregiver was like calling and demanding the 50% and, just where is my money? Where is my money? And so I had given them my dad's will as documentation, as well as his death certificate to show that she was his caregiver and not his spouse, as she was alleging on the phone with this company. So she would say, I'm his wife, I deserve this money, statements like that. So that was shared on a call by an employee of this life insurance company with me. So in the end, the life insurance company agreed with me that this was all sketch, and they put a stop to the payment to figure out who should actually inherit the life insurance. So we have that process going on, but then they had already sent me the money.
Oh,
So
yeah.
yeah, so mess, right?
Oh, total mess.
Total mess. They sent me a claimant affidavit form in late November, and they sent one to the caregiver. So I have no idea why they sent one to her, because she's like not family, she's not like married to my dad. Like that's just like a question I have. Like, why did that even go to her? Because the purpose and intent of this claimant affidavit form is to establish the line of succession. So they essentially removed her as a beneficiary, but had to see what the line of succession is. So on this form, it asks, who's the person that died? How are you related to them? Who else is related to them? And it's deep, y'all. It will ask about, great grandparents, because that's a process they have to have in place, right?
Yep.
Ask all these questions. And the line of succession is obviously me and my sibling, as notated in the will.
So why would they send her one at all? Like, it doesn't seem like logical.
That is like one big question I have out of this whole thing. That's like on my list of like big questions. But once she realized she was removed as a beneficiary, she decided to fraudulently add her adult son as my father's son. As I shared before, the caregiver and my father were married in the 1970s. My dad was stationed in Germany living his best Elvis GI Blues life. She was in the States. They never really saw each other. And it was shared with me by a family member that she picked up an Italian hitchhiker and had a situationship to some degree with this hitchhiker, and she wound up pregnant. So my dad was never the adoptive or biological father. And she admitted this in an affidavit that she submitted shortly after I filed the lawsuit. But once she saw she was no longer a life insurance beneficiary, she decided to add her adult son on the claimant affidavit form fraudulently.
Like, what the hell? Like, what?
Yeah,
Okay.
so much like anytime I get to that part, people are like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah. So here's the kicker. My dad's will was changed 6 weeks before he died, which is odd. And there's like case law to support that that is odd and needs to be looked into, which it's part of the lawsuit. But it states he has two children and we are the heirs. There's no mention of her son. There's literally no mention of him in his will. And at the end of the will, there's like this sheet that says, oh, this can go to this person, this can go to that. That had me on there, and that was it. So it was like there was no mention of her adult son. And so basically, we have an executor of a person's will and estate trying to add a beneficiary against the will's wishes and for their own financial benefit, which is absolutely wild to me. And it's so funny. I was actually looking at it today. I have her copy of her claimant affidavit that she submitted to the life insurance company, and it's
Okay.
wild. On the cover of the fact sheet, she literally writes, completed to the best of my knowledge. And I'm like, okay. And then
Okay.
there's long section about fraud warnings and how each state has their own response to fraud. And it's like penalties include imprisonment and fines. And guess what? She signs that, certifying that everything she has written is true, and she has it notarized because they're required to be notarized. So when we
Yeah.
get to the levels of like fraud here, I'm like, she had some poor guy notarize this and like, she.
Thinking that Polly herself, like after writing all this stuff and then saying, to the best of my knowledge, I.
Yeah, and then adding that note on the facts cover sheet is like insane to me, because I'm just like, that's like pretty sketch.
After getting it on with an Italian hitchhiker.
Sorry,
The
I should
whole reason why your dad and her got divorced in the first place.
laugh. Exactly. Like he got back from this from Germany and was just like, yeah, no. Peace out.
I've
We'll
been
get into
gone
that
in
later.
Germany, stationed with the army, and then suddenly my wife is pregnant.
Yeah,
Okay.
he like never saw her. So, but he didn't, I mean, he didn't really care. He just kind of moved on. And don't worry, there's more family history. The 70s were wild for my family.
The more wild, the better. So you never really knew this particular individual, the son, apparently.
No. So, I mean, I knew the caregiver had adult children, but like before this lawsuit, if you had held a gun to my head and what are their names, something about anything about them, I didn't know anything about them. Like my dad mentioned them in passing maybe once or twice with this like kind of broad, they're weirdos, they're crackheads comment. So, like, I don't know. I have never met these people. I have no idea who they are, but now that I'm in this lawsuit, I've obviously learned more. So I know her son has a biological father and an adoptive father, my one uncle by marriage, and that's a long story, part of the crazy 70s. And we actually might need to put some visuals up with like a diagram for that one. So stay tuned. But her son is basically trying to inherit his biological father's estate, will inherit part of his adoptive father's estate, and is trying to take stuff from my dad's estate. So it's like, how many dads are you trying to scam here?
How many baby daddies are there for one guy?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, good Lord.
Oh gosh. It's so odd that these people were trying to insert themselves so deeply into your family and your father's estate. Like, it's just wild.
It is odd and it feels honestly creepy. It feels like very forced that they're trying to force themselves into our family. So it's very weird to everyone in my family. We're just like, what is this about? So yeah, I mean, with the life insurance, I filled out my claimant affidavit and I attached copies of my dad's will, me and my sister's birth certificate, our passports, and the form did ask for documentation. So I, of course, submitted all the documentation. So, when the caregiver sent in her claimant affidavit without any documentation, the life insurance company actually added her son to the pre-interpleader process. So, it was so wild that they did that without any documentation. So, I sent them the affidavit of her stating that he is not my father's biological or adoptive son. But at this point, with like the lawsuit and just like the amount of people involved and everything, they're like terrified to touch it. So, maybe they removed him. I actually don't know because at this time, the life insurance company actually can't give me that information. They can only give it to attorneys. So I'm kind of blocked from knowing, but it's also just
Yeah.
like wild that they didn't require more documentation to establish somebody's paternity. So it makes me like worry about like other people like potentially in this predicament.
Yeah, for sure. That's just an interesting process. So, what is a pre-interpleader, if you could explain it, if you know it?
They should retitle it a whole nightmare. So I'm not an attorney, so no one take this as like legit legal advice or anything. I'm just like a layperson who has learned some things along the way. But my understanding is that pre-interpleader is a process. It's kind of a formal process that allows all claimants to a life insurance claim or any insurance claim to basically figure it out on their own. So it's kind of like, okay, we'll hold the money, but y'all got to get together and figure it out. So I can post the pre-interpleader letter. Like I said, I'm gonna post receipts. I love posting receipts. But essentially, if pre-interpleader is not successful, the insurance company files a lawsuit at the federal level so the dispute can be settled. It's super costly and they take the funds out of the life insurance. So people, companies, that's why they establish this pre-interpleader process to kind of give everyone the opportunity to avoid going to federal court. So, at this space and time, my attorneys don't think it's going to go there because this insurance company is being great about our court order and just kind of holding everything. But at the same time, no one has, quote, seen anything like this. And that's being said all the time with this. So, I'm like, who knows? Maybe I'll be in federal court next.
I mean, you have the perfect face for going to federal court.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So it's so wild what's happened with after the claimant form submission. Like, it's just unimaginative. Like, you provide all this paperwork and stuff that is signed by her and notarized saying that this person is not a biological or adoptive son, but they still accepted the process and moving it forward in this fashion. It's just wild to me.
Yeah, it's just like It's wild. And like, it was interesting because I didn't even know what the form was for. So like when I got it, I called the life insurance company and I asked, and they're like, oh, this is just to make sure everything's in order. What they could have and should have said is like, there's questions about who should inherit this, fill it out and send it back. So then I asked like my, Spidey senses about my family's entire shit show history start like flaring up. Right. And so I asked,
Yes.
the money's good, right? Like, it's in my bank account. I'm okay. Like, I can do whatever I want with it. Like, I said it that explicitly to this poor guy on the phone, and he says, yeah, you're good. So that was in December. Turns out things were not good. And I got a letter from them in January demanding the money back. And it was a large sum of money. They were threatening me. They were going to report me to the IRS. And it was like legit the scariest letter I've ever gotten. I remember getting it and just like having like a full panic attack. I was like crying and like shaking because I didn't understand why. And I've never been in trouble. Like, I've never been arrested. I've never even had a parking ticket. Like, I've never been pulled over. Like, I just like, I'm a law-abiding citizen here. And so it made me feel like I was in trouble. And so when I called to see like, what is this about? Like, they were really intense in their language of me, like, you need to send that money back. Like, really,
Oh,
like,
wow.
yeah, it was really intense. And I was just like, okay, but I'm just like, this feels weird.
I know that would be so weird. And to clarify, that was in December of 2021 and then January of 2022, so last year, right?
Yes, just
Okay.
a year ago now.
And I know a little about your history. You're not so innocent, Simone. Like you did have an interaction with the police while you were on some vehicles dry making some
Oh, yeah.
phalluses. Another story for another day.
That's another story for another day. Probably the one time I was even close to being in trouble.
And nonetheless, it was your friends who punked you too. So
Exactly.
not really real trouble. So with this money, so what did you do with it? What happened after that?
Like I said, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I sent it back. Like, I hadn't spent any money or done anything with it. And it was literally just sitting in a bank account because, like, after everything I've been through with my dad and my family and just all this stuff, I don't trust anyone. I don't trust anything. So I'm like, I'm just gonna sit on this and just see what happens. Well, thank God I didn't buy a house like my dad wanted me to. He was like really encouraging me to invest in real estate. Here, buy raw land, put a bunch of tiny houses on it. Airbnb, Simone, it'll be great. And I'm like, yeah, that'll be great, but like someday when this lawsuit's done, like I'll do it. But anyway, so I go to the bank and I try to take this money out because I'm like, I literally go up to a teller. I'm like, hi, can I pull out money from this account? And she literally pulls it up and like her eyes like bulge out of her head, and she's like, I need to call my manager. I had to wait there, and they had to have like the VP of the bank come down like from like 40 minutes away basically to like help with this removal of money. And they were asking if I was being held hostage, if this was being done against my will. They asked me if this was a scam. Like, the vibe in the bank that day was lit. Like, everybody, all the tellers were like trying to listen in and see what's going on. Everybody was out of their offices. It was like me in the center, all these poor bank employees like are surrounding me in like this protective banking circle. And they're like, are you okay? Like, is this a scam? We've never seen anything like this. They were all like scurrying around just saying, I've never seen anything like this before. Are you being held hostage? And I might be wrong, but I basically remember signing something. It might have been just a basic, like, yeah, this is my money, I'm taking it out. But I kind of remember it having an element of, I'm insured. I'm like telling y'all that I'm not being taken hostage. Like, I'm doing this on my own, autonomy, accord. Like, I'm not being held against my will.
Yeah, I can imagine like short little you, what's four four
Four
foot ten, 4'10", you standing with all these tellers looking just barely over the counter with the tellers be like, I want to take this money, and they're like,
Yeah, please. They're
what? Looking down at you is like, are you sure?
are you being held hostage? And like at the time I was just like, I'm so used to chaos that I was just like, I don't get what all the fuss is. But like in hindsight, I'm like, no, that was very like reasonable of them to ask and make those inquiries, and I really appreciate it. In hindsight, I'm like, that was smart.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I just want to like the money that I've been having sitting here, hundreds of thousands of dollars, just sitting in my bank account. I want to take it all out now.
Yeah, right now.
Right
So
now.
But like at the time, I was like, you know, I'm so used to this crazy kind of stuff that I'm just like, I didn't blink. But they were like, are you okay? And now I'm like, that's really good that they have that structure to like support. I mean, that could happen. That could happen.
Oh, legitimately. So, what did they do after you sent the money back?
It was
The
such a
insurance
weird
company.
time. Yeah, it was so weird. Like they sent me a letter confirming that they had received the check and they wouldn't really share any information. Anytime I called to be like, "Hey, like what's going on?" they'd be like really vague and like we have to investigate. And I was pretty sure it had to do with the letter I had sent in October, but again, I was confused because they said 5 to 7 days and then I didn't hear anything. So I was just really confused. So then I started to look for life insurance attorneys because I was like, "Okay, something is like bubbling here." Like obviously, they asked for like this huge sum of money back. And there's so many attorneys that don't want to touch this stuff. I had so many doors slammed in my face. Like, and plus, I think they were struck by the weirdness of it because they had never seen anything like this before, which is something that has been repeated to me my entire life as it relates to my family. So many attorneys are like, yeah, ooh, not going to touch that. So I finally found the two attorneys that I currently have, and it just made me think about how difficult it is to navigate like attorneys and the system, and it's hard. But that's when they sent the pre-interpleader letter. Then I found my attorneys, and so we were going to initially try to settle this whole thing with the life insurance with mediation, which last year I was like, okay. I was like, this should take care of at least some things. Like me being me, I was like, there's going to be more shit hitting the fan. I can guarantee it, but at least this will take care of this. And now I like look back on that. I'm like, oh, you sweet summer child for thinking any part of this would be taken care of and done. Like, bless you, Simone. Bless you,
God bless
January
you.
last year, Simone. Like, bless you. But we were also waiting on the pension and like the 401k. Those will probably episodes in and of themselves because there was crazy shit happening with all that too. So then in late January, we notified the caregiver that I was represented by attorneys and to please provide the financial accounting of my father's estate, which she dragged her feet, as we all know. And I actually did not get that until September. So then she notified me that she retained an attorney and finally opened probate. And in the midst of all that is when I received the screenshots from the whistleblower, and that is what triggered the actual lawsuit filing.
Yeah, I remember you telling me all this during the time and just like the massive amount of just chaos going on with that, all during last year, and that you finally did the actual lawsuit. And so these are like big spheres of issues, one being the life insurance, then you have the pension, which we will hear about later,
Oh
and then the
yeah.
401k that we'll hear about later as well. I mean, more content for later. For later episodes, right? And then, of course, the caregiver red flags just flashing everywhere. And so it makes sense why the lawsuit was finally filed and actually just get that process started.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were already, I would say now that I've been through this process to some degree, there were art I probably could have filed this lawsuit back in October, right after my dad died, and it would have had enough content to like move forward, but I didn't because I just didn't know what I was dealing with, you know? It was just so much, and like I've never had a parent die before. It's really overwhelming. So I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. But now I'm like, okay, we have a lot of content here. So the commentary from her that I'm jealous or whatever is really bizarre to everyone. My attorneys thought it was extremely odd. It was a very odd response. So with all these fears and so many things in question, it's reasonable, I think, that someone would want to file a suit to have these issues looked at.
Oh yeah, for sure. And for to provide context for those people who are not in the know on this, what she means by like the content that you're jealous or just
Yes.
wanting like all this is more like affidavits and letters signed by the caregiver to the court against Simone saying that she's jealous without, and that's all she says basically in these letters. There's a lot of emotional appeals without any backing for any documentation and or evidence supporting her claims of emotional appeal in this process.
Yeah, because I mean, I never met her. Like, there's no documentation of me being jealous. So it's just like, it's just everyone's just like, this is so bizarre.
Oh yeah, so bizarre. And it must have been very frustrating seeing her son added to the mix when she like biologically and legally has no claims to any of life insurance or in this entire state?
So I think lying about paternity is really sick and twisted at this point, especially when it's transparent, like in this case, that it's driven by greed. It's just really disrespectful to my father. It's really disrespectful to my family. And now I think it's disrespectful to the insurance company and the court system. And so there is a taped interview with the police where she says, quote, Simone is saying, I am lying about my son's paternity and I'm not. It is scary that she, me, Simone, is lying about that. And it just like makes me laugh because she herself submitted an affidavit after the lawsuit was filed saying he's not the biological or adoptive son. And I gave that document to the police prior to the interview. So they knew she lied and then was accusing me of lying in the same breath. So for me, it's like if you lie to the police, you will lie to anyone about anything. Like that interview confirmed a lot for me.
Oh yeah, and people who have very unhealthy narcissistic behaviors will essentially lie to anyone who will think they will in project and or in this case, I feel it's a lot of projection. Like she is throwing onto you, telling these officers what she's actually doing herself.
Yeah,
And
you're right. I never thought about it like that, actually. You're 100% right.
oh yeah, exactly. And just trying to get they're trying to manipulate their emotions and take it as evidence as well. And so
Yeah.
even though she's the one that submitted this affidavit to a legal document that's notarized saying her son is not biological nor legally a son to your father. So
Wild. Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that's absolutely true because it just blew me away that someone would like just straight up lie to a police officer.
I mean, people do it all the time. I mean, officers are human too, so they want to manipulate those emotions when they can. So, will we get to hear that interview?
Oh, yes. It is public record, and I think I do need to edit it to remove any identifying markers. But there are open investigations, so I don't want to impact those at this time. But I mean, I will post it. It's 25 minutes of like really interesting material. My favorite part is when they, aside from the lying it to the police officer, of course, is when they
Yes.
ask her directly about changing beneficiaries, and they have the documents that were given to me by the whistleblower like in front of them. And her answer is absolutely incredible. It is something out of like a true crime doc or movie. Tony, you have heard that. I did show you that clip. It is wild. So I will share it, or I'll type up like a transcript and post it, or do like an episode on the interview itself, like go through each thing and kind of parse it out. But I do want to be careful that there are like active investigations at this time, so it might be a little bit, but I promise y'all, it's a treat.
Yep, as we mentioned last week, multiple investigations by multiple entities, both at the federal, state, and other legal entities looking into this as well. So it's a wild ride, and it's going to be great. So thank you all for listening tonight for episode two, talking about specifically the launch, the life insurance, and we will have more
Yeah,
information next time.
next week, you know what? Maybe we'll have an update, but I bet like $20 that my attorneys will email me and be like, yeah, we haven't heard from them, because that's just been the trend since like October. It was just like, yeah, I reached out. Like my attorneys are so good about like emailing and calling the other attorney. So I feel bad for them that they're like every like update to me is always like, no, we haven't heard from them. So it's frustrating, but it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. I almost feel like maybe that attorney is not getting paid by the caretaker.
You know,
And
that's a
so like
possibility.
she's
That's a
just like
possibility.
I've dropped her, but like there would be documentation that's saying that she's dropped her as a client
As
as well.
far as my understanding goes, yeah, there that would be documented, but you know, who knows at this point? Like, as everyone has said like a million times, I've never seen anything like this before. So I'm just like rolling with that. You know, I own it, I accept it. That's just like the brand. That's like the tagline of my family. You've never seen anything like this before. So that's just our whole thing, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I can speculate, and it's interesting because my attorneys have actually speculated a lot. Like, my attorneys are really great, smart people, but they don't tend to like talk out loud. You know what I mean? Like, they have their answers. They kind of know what direction to go in. But with this,
Yep.
really like speculating, like, what is the issue here? Like, we have never seen this before. Like, and I'm like, y'all, we can speculate all day and we just might never have an answer. And that's just the reality. So we're just gonna have to sit tight and just kind of hope for the best. I'm not sure how we're gonna move forward. But you know, we've got some plans in place. So hopefully plans that garner a response.
Hopefully a reasonable response, but so far it has not been the case, so we shall see. All right, thank you everyone for listening to episode 2 of Hair of the Dog, and hope you all have a good night.
All right, good night, y'all.